This Christmas, see fairy tales differently with RNIB. Our new read-along storybook, Red and the Wolf, is the perfect Christmas gift for the children in your life. Challenging perceptions of disability through a beautiful retelling of a classic tale with a modern twist. Red can't see very well, but that doesn't stop her overcoming the obstacles she faces.
Shall I guide you to Granny's cottage?
No thanks. I'm not allowed to talk to strangers, and I'm really good at finding my own way.
Aimed at children aged 3 to 7, the book comes with an audio version of the story, including sound effects and audio prompts to tell little ones when to turn the page, so children can listen to the story and follow the text at the same time, helping them to read independently. Available for just £8.99, including UK delivery. Find out more and order in time for Christmas at readalong.org.uk. 100% of the profits from sales of Red and the Wolf goes to RNIB, supporting blind and partially sighted people and helping to create a world where there are no barriers for people with sight loss.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Tech Talk from RNIB Connect Radio, the RNIB's technology show for blind and partially sighted people. See technology differently.
Oh, hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Tech Talk. It's December. It's the most... Oh, I can't sing that because I'll have to pay for it. Listen, we've got Robin Christofferson here from AbilityNet. Merry Christmas to you. Ooh, ha, ha, ha. Oh, hang on a minute. I'm getting my Halloween mixed in there. I don't know what's going on.
That suddenly went very sinister.
Yes, that's how the show often goes. Tim Schwartz is here from lifeafterblindness.com. Are you wearing tinsel, Tim?
I am not covered in tinsel, no, but I don't know what to do now. I'm so confused with this opening. I don't know what to think anymore.
Yes, well, welcome to Tech Talk.
Yes, exactly. That sums up the show.
I don't know why you're confused by this. It's the same every week. We just start off completely confused and find our way. We're typical blind guys. Emails Andy's here. Hello, Emails Andy.
Hello, my baubles are dangling. Is that right? Probably not. Right? That sounds like a medical term, doesn't
it? Sounds a bit early, if I'm honest. You're supposed to wait until 14 days before, are you not?
I'll rip them down then.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think you're supposed to. I'm sure there's a law against putting your Christmas decorations up too
Advent.
Early.
They've been in the shop for months. Surely you were allowed to put decorations up on the 1st of December, no?
Yeah, Advent, is, as Robin says, Advent, which were a fantastic make of PCs for a while. I remember having an Advent PC. Do you remember Advent PCs?
Yeah.
I loved my Advent
deft, PC. Deftly done.
Wasn't that good? You'd think this was planned, and trust me, it's not.
Deftly or daftly. Anyway, moving on.
Yeah, exactly. That's probably more like it. Look, we've got lots to get through. Of course, we're going to be joined by the Technology for Life team a bit later. They have something special for you as we get into December. We've got some nice features coming up. But we're actually going to spend this entire hour doing something that our listeners keep asking us to do. No, not get off the air. But instead, do this. Emails.
We get your email every single day. Here's your mail today.
So, emails, Andy. We didn't do a check at the start of this. How many pages or boatloads or whatever it is we're doing these days of emails.
Don't start doing the boat noises again.
That's a Merry Christmas.
How many sackfuls or stockingfuls?
We are 18 pages. Should we say that's 18 stockings around the tree? I think that's about right.
This is getting ridiculous.
No, I think we can fire through them over the next couple of weeks. We'll definitely trim that down into single digits again. I'm sure of it.
I do. I know we should be fired. Right, let's get into the emails then. Merry Christmas, everybody. Andy, what have you got?
Brian has emailed in regarding TuneIn. Lots of mutterings from Amazon and Google device owners that many of the huge number of free stations on TuneIn stopped working via both devices late on Tuesday night. Well, Brian says Tuesday night. This was a couple of weeks ago now. Amazon have been...
Six months ago.
Amazon have been singularly unhelpful, blaming the customer for bad use as per usual. I'm not sure if it will still be broken when you do the next tech talk. But some of the background and how it can be fixed for things like Manx Radio, Mushroom FM, and many others around the world would be nice. Jonathan Mosen says that it's only broken on the Siri if you have never played a station. If you have, then it stores the address in a cache and then part of the iTunes area, and it looks up there. Bah humbug, says Brian.
Oh, well, that's timely. He obviously knew that we'd get to this at Christmas.
Yeah, we purposefully sat on this one.
Only because of the Bah Humbug reference. Yeah. I mean, otherwise we would have read this months ago, right? Well, look, I can give you some information. I've done my homework in this one, which is very unusual for me.
Wow.
Let me tell you about this, because here's what happened. TuneIn started blocking international stations. Now, I don't know when it was. It was a good few months back. And this was all because of legal action pursued by Sony Music and Warner Music. In particular, Warner Music, actually. So what happened was these UK divisions of these major publishing houses, these production houses, sued TuneIn, and the argument was made that when radio stations were accessed via its app in the UK, a separate music license is required. So, you know, without getting into the really boring stuff here, but basically radio requires you to have a license to broadcast. So we play music here on RNIB Connect Radio. So it's licensed. We've got a license to play that music. But it seems as if the argument's being made that these companies that actually stream into other countries should be paying for the licensing for the music to be broadcast in that country. So an American station playing music is paying its license fees. But what happens when that leaks into the UK? Who's paying for the licensing here? So that was essentially what happened. TuneIn were kind of caught in the middle here. TuneIn didn't have any music licenses itself, so therefore it was, according to the courts, liable for copyright infringement. So TuneIn countered back and said it was just a very simple audio-centric search engine that puts you in touch with other people's streams, other radio station streams, and therefore it wasn't actually itself involved in any communication to the public of any music. Therefore, it didn't need licenses. However, the High Court ruling said that UK radio stations accessed via the TuneIn app were covered by those stations' music licenses from Record Industry Collecting Society, PPL. However, non-UK-based stations were not licensed to webcast music within the UK, even if those stations had music licenses covering their respective home countries. So therefore, both TuneIn and those international stations could be liable for the copyright infringement if, by being featured in the TuneIn UK app, they were specifically targeting UK listeners. And that's meant that TuneIn has started blocking international stations on its UK app. So if you're wondering why you're not getting the station you might have listened to, you know, California FM, then, you know, that's why. California FM no longer broadcasts on TuneIn, or at least in the UK it doesn't, because of these rulings. So there you go.
And also on the TuneIn built-in capabilities on your smart speakers as well.
Anything attached to the app, yeah. So if it's whether it be the app, or whether it be the app via your smart device, via your smart TV, tablet, iPhone, Android phone, whatever it is, it's impacted, which is kind of annoying, to be honest.
So the answer is...
You're stunned. You're absolutely stunned because I did some homework. You're shocked beyond belief, I can tell.
This is absolutely true.
I was impressed.
I'm very impressed. Yeah, you know, I've been looking at other apps anyway, because in the middle of the summer, TuneIn abruptly, unfortunately, lost their licensing with Major League Baseball and the NFL here in the States. And that was a primary place where I could listen to radio broadcasts for...
It's not real football.
I just said NFL. I didn't call it football. But like, you know anyway, Stephen. Really.
I just said it. I thought I'd try and be populist.
Yeah, you don't even know what you're talking about. Anyway,
that time's gone now. Have you not heard? We've moved on now.
Yes.
Populism's out now.
Oh, we're not doing that anymore. Oh, well, I'm with the NFL.
It's all about unity.
All about the NFL. More of that. Less of the other thing.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. But no, I mean, I've actually canceled my TuneIn Premium subscription because I was paying basically for the access to the sports and even the quote-unquote non-commercial listening to news outlets, even though all they do is just play replays of the news during the commercials. So that gets confusing. But yeah, this is kind of a tricky one. Really, most of what I listen to, honestly, internationally, is like BBC World News, BBC Four. I listen to those quite often, and so that hasn't seemed to be as affected. But yeah, this is definitely something they need to work out.
Yeah. It's a bit of a pain. And the thing is, I think, Robin, the issue I've got with this is, obviously, this is a license thing. Fair enough, I get it. I mean, you know, licenses must be paid. Artists should be paid for their music. I get all that. But the problem ultimately lies in the fact that we only have one choice when it comes to or listening through that device. I know you can enable other skills, obviously, that can give you access to other streams, but the default that it uses for streaming stations is TuneIn, and I don't think you can change that.
No, but maybe this will kickstart that. Well, I say kickstart it, they haven't done it yet, and it's been going on for several months. But you know, you can change your default music provider, you can change your default podcast provider on the A-Lady, for example. So yeah, maybe it's just a matter of time.
But in defense to TuneIn, in TuneIn's defense, and I guess to the artist's defense as well, the problem is whichever platform you use, you'd still, someone has to pay the license. So really, is it the radio station that has to pay that license? It's a very grey area, but it has really brought something out that I think, you know, a lot of radio stations will struggle with this, you know, not just in the UK, in the US, around the world, and possibly even in the UK as well, because, you know, what happens on the flip side of this? Does that mean that the UK stations can't broadcast into the US now? These are difficult questions that are coming.
And it's such a blunt instrument that they've used, because I don't do music and I do spoken word, but they've all been killed as well.
So boring.
So the Twit network, which is all tech and no music, that's gone too. And there's no rights issues
there.
When
you sit down there with your bottle of port and your caviar,
cigar,
whatever it is, cigar, you know, and you're sitting there listening to your talking book of the day, don't you ever just fancy, you know, boogieing on down to the Bee Gees?
I sometimes put music on, because sometimes in the things I listen to, people refer to, you know, bands or a classic song or something, and I'll fire it up and I'll be thinking, yeah, great, now let's get on with some more actual content.
You are, as we know, a lord, and I think that it would be great to hear you you get up and boogie. You could be Lord of the Dance.
We actually played country music, a country music classic station, on every device in the house the other day, and
taste.
It was fab.
But I say that as a host of a country music show, yeah, I know.
I was going to say, yeah, really?
Yeah. Right, okay, let's get into some other emails.
Neil has sent in a couple of emails that I've amalgamated together. Says, hi guys, firstly, I love the email jingle. Also, I tried the auto text feature that was mentioned in the last podcast, but it doesn't seem to work with my word. Any response to that straight away before I move on?
My word is my response. Mm. That's a shame. I don't know what version of Word he's using, but it definitely works. I would just say, and this is a good opportunity to mention that the... I mean, it might be a different one for him, but his Word, whatever version he has, will have an autocorrect capability in it. Maybe the keystrokes aren't exactly the same to set it up. But I'm using Office 2016, you know, the kind of one that's in the subscription that gets constantly updated and things do change. But Alt-Q... it's a good opportunity to mention that fantastic keystroke. If you're going to remember one keystroke in Office, it should be Alt-Q, which takes you up to the search box, type in the command you want. I actually use it instead of the ribbon, because it's just quicker to... I have to resend emails all the time, so I do Alt-Q in Outlook, type resend, arrow down, it says more options, arrow to the right, and then you can get into the submenu for resending or... you know, there's, you can get straight to the thing you want. So if you type autocorrect in that and just follow the, you know, just arrow down to the option that you want. But Alt-Q, brilliant, brilliant keystroke.
Okay. Good advice.
Neil also...
But sorry, it didn't work.
Yeah, Neil, give us some more information, Neil, and we might be able to help further. He's also emailed in asking for the Tech Talk survey that we were running a couple of months ago. Unfortunately, when he emailed in, it had expired by that point. But so Neil decided to reply to us, and he let us know his own personal thoughts. He says,
uh-oh, should I hide under the table?
No, no, probably. very nice. He says, I enjoy the show and I normally listen to it on the podcast. I like the style and I would like some more demonstrations of software, perhaps. As someone who has been blind for over 35 years, I generally manage fairly well. But I'm always intrigued in how others tackle tasks, and I'm fascinated by some of the small insights both Robin and Stephen give us during the show into how they...
little gems.
Into how that they do things, and I'd love to know more, as I sometimes feel that they just mention things in conversation without explaining fully. For example, they often mention their ear pods and the different ways of navigating around using certain apps. As someone who's never used these, I'd be really interested in finding out more. Regards, that's from Neil.
Oh, don't get me started on AirPods. Honestly, so my AirPods the other week just stopped working. That was it. Dead. Useless.
So did
Couldn't do anything with them.
Yeah,
well, you've got the Huawei.
I'm on the Huawei's. Yeah.
The Huawei's, yeah. I like saying that, Huawei.
Huawei.
But yeah, I mean, I got the Apple AirPods, the AirPods Pro, I might add, and yeah, they just stopped working. And I googled around seeing if there's any fixes for it. I mean, you know, before anyone emails in, yes, I did charge them up. Yes, I did check they were working. And, you know, and there hadn't been anywhere near water, unlike everything else in my life. So I thought, well, maybe I should take them into the Apple Store. I really don't want to have to go into the Apple Store at the moment, but if I have to, I will. Anyway, you know, checked online, and a lot of people were reporting the same fault. Just one day, you open up the case, no lights, nothing's happening, just nothing, and it's not even showing up. So I gave it a charge, and I think I had it on charge for about 3 hours, and I checked it, and still nothing. And I kind of got a bit annoyed, so I just left it. And forgot to unplug it at night, which you really shouldn't do. But I left them plugged in all night. And when I got back through in the morning, no, the house hadn't burned down. That's the good news. But the upside was, the flip side to that was, that my AirPods had in fact fully charged. Well, interestingly, the case had only charged to 40% and it had been plugged in all night. So I left it again the rest of the day and... that was it. It was back up to 100%. So I don't know what's going on there.
And it charges normally now?
Yeah, charges normally now. So I don't know if it was just maybe a bit of a bug in the software or something. Maybe it needed a little update, but it seems to be okay now. So far, it was just good.
Really, really tired and just needed
You've worked too hard.
Kick, yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe that's what it was.
We should say
know,
that
just really weird.
People have a year's warranty, obviously, and they will replace things very, very... you know, readily for you.
And Apple have said, in fairness, Apple's also said that if you have that little annoying crackle in one of your AirPod Pros, they will repair it for free. Or replace them for free, actually, which is good news. I've banged my AirPods against the desk and I can't get the crackly noise to happen, so, you know, I'm going to have to live with it. But...
or a rattle. Some
sound.
Things, some of them have a rattly thing inside as well, like something's come loose.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
dodgy match.
But what about yours, Andy? Are yours working?
Yeah, they are now. As of this morning, I just had to unpair and then repair the Bluetooth. Why it decided? Oh, yeah. I mean, I was playing podcasts and music, and it just wasn't kicking through to the headphones for whatever reason. A quick unpairing of them, repairing of them, and yeah, everything works fine now. Hopefully. For the future.
Yeah, I had a very similar issue with my Bluetooth, my real display, my Focus 14, which just stopped working one day. And I don't know what had happened, but it managed to unpair itself from the phone. So I had to go back through that joyous process again. But it's all working now. But look, actually, to the point of the email, who sent that email in again? That was
Neil.
Neil, okay.
Neil. So more demonstrations, point, he says.
Yeah, I think, that, you know, we do tend to... I think we do this, don't we? And I find this actually one of the most interesting things and also one of the most infuriating things. And you guys know this because I've said this a few times to both of you, to Robin and Tim, that you guys are mines of information. So much stuff that comes out through the course of the show. And I didn't know that existed. Or, wow, I didn't know that. I did that. But you just come out with it. Because when you know the stuff, you don't tend to think of it as great information. But actually, you know, we three of us, well, probably more you two, hold a lot of useful information in your heads that you like to share. And, yeah, I think it does come out sometimes maybe a bit kind of off the cuff. But you know what? As much as we want to just sort of turn you both upside down and shake you until we get all the information out... That's not legal, from my understanding. So, you know, we have to do it this way.
I'd like to see you grab me at my 6'4" and my build. I'd love to see you pick me up and shake me out. Yeah,
I'll pick Robin and Stephen.
How do you know I'm not 6'4"? No, I'm not. Equally, that equally goes for you, Stephen, as well. Absolutely mine of knowledge. But you're right. I mean, we should probably just be on guard for when these nuggets come along to make sure that we are thinking out, you know, the bigger picture and, well, has that been explained to people that might not have the context or the background to, you know, that we have. So, yeah, we will. Thanks for that point. We will be on our guard.
And it's definitely a good point. And I think that we all try to remember to explain something, or I don't want to say simplify necessarily, but try to explain something a little bit before we get into the deep weeds of it. At the same time, it's easy to forget because we've talked about things on previous episodes, or we just, I don't want to say that we assume that people just already know, because we try not to assume.
No, we don't.
And we try to just explain things as we're going. But it's easy to get in so deep that we're just explaining it because we're excited about what we're talking about or whatever, wanting to get deep into the topic, and forget to back up and say, hey, wait a minute. By the way, if you don't know what we're talking about, and I know we all have done both sides of those, even since I've been back on the program. I know Robin does that quite a bit. Stephen, you've done that, you know, back up and go, you know what, why don't we back up and explain this for a minute? But we just unfortunately don't always remember to do that. But so I get it. I can understand that point.
Yeah. Neil, appreciate your email and appreciate the comments as well. Those will stick with us, I'm sure. Right, let's get another email.
We have another Scottish-based Richard contacting us. As you seem to be looking for a Richard III, he says, I thought I'd lay claim to the title as you're steadily working south from Richard I in Aberdeen to Richard II in Perth. Richard III is in Edinburgh. So yes, we now have three Richards. Hello to you if you are a Richard listening. He says, Now on to the point of this mail. Firstly, I wanted to make it clear that the keystroke insert plus control plus V is a JAWS command for the Windows version number and therefore won't work if you use anything else like NVDA or Narrator. Secondly, you mentioned
Before you go on from that point, we did mention, was it a couple of weeks ago, that WinVer is what you can type in all one word into the start menu search box to get a Windows dialogue up telling you what your Windows version is. But yeah, he's absolutely right. Just works with JAWS.
Secondly, you mentioned an episode or so back that a lot of blind people seem to be moving to WhatsApp from Twitter. And while this may very well be true, bear in mind that the two platforms meet different needs. For example, as far as I know, you can't simply follow someone in WhatsApp for informational reasons such as Sky News or a particular football club, since you need to either invite someone or be invited to someone to join a group. Also, unless things have changed, in order to be able to participate in WhatsApp, you need to provide your phone number, so you should be careful about this. Personally, I wouldn't want my number to be made available to all and sundry. And lastly, I agree that TW Blue is an excellent platform for Twitter, but it has an irritating habit of throwing a wobbly where, for example, it just won't launch. Now, in the past, when this has happened, I've gone through numerous reinstalls of the software, but usually to no effect. What I've discovered, though, is that there is a file called twblue.pid somewhere buried in the C drive. And if you delete this, TWBlue will start loading and behaving normally all over again. Thanks for the podcast, and I hope the above information helps in some way. That is from Richard Bartholomew.
Thank you, Richard. Lovely to have you along with us, Sir Lord Richard of Edinburgh. III. Richard III, not Edinburgh III. Anyway, moving on. Interesting stuff in there. I'm trying to remember what that first point was because I got stuck on the TW Blue.
WhatsApp to Twitter and the different needs here.
Yeah, that is interesting because what I was referring to there was a conversation I'd had with, I can't even remember who it was with, but someone I was talking to who had said, you know, more blind people seem to be using WhatsApp these days than using Twitter. I don't think they were looking at it as an alternative. It might be just a way of socialising that was better than perhaps using Twitter, but you're right, you have to be involved in those groups. I've never been invited to a WhatsApp group in my life.
You're on about eight. What are you talking about?
What?
You're in ours.
I mean, I set them up.
Oh, that's true.
I'm talking about being invited to them.
That's true.
I have to create my own social groups and then hope people join in.
No, it is a fair point, though, because, yeah, I don't see people leaving the Twitter experience and replacing it with a WhatsApp experience. That would not make sense at all. If you're looking for a place to be able to message people directly or in groups like we mentioned, then yeah, WhatsApp is fantastic for that. Texting and audio, even video if you want to use it. So I don't see that being a pure alternative. Each of them have their own benefits for completely different reasons. You can, you know, message people privately on Twitter and do that, but it's not anywhere near the same and as robust as what you can do on WhatsApp. And as he points out, as Richard points out in the email, yeah, WhatsApp, if you want to get into a news group or something like that, you have to provide your phone number. You have to join or be invited somehow with a link or you know, whatever to get into that group. And really, there's a lot better, easier ways to get your news or information than joining some sort of WhatsApp group for that purpose. That it's more socializing and communication, in my opinion, than it would be for news. I'd rather, you know, join a Facebook group or a list on Twitter than try to do something like that on WhatsApp.
Well, I'm a member of a brilliant WhatsApp group called the Echo Enthusiasts. Echo Enthusiasts, it's called, and it's it's just audio messaging. Although sometimes somebody might pop a URL in there or something, but it kind of feels like a Vrail community or kind of a Twitter list that you can subscribe to, but just all audio. So there is similarities, but he's absolutely right. They're not, you know, direct.
Yeah, I think the problem is it's a bit exclusive.
Dependent upon the participants.
Exclusive for me. That's the problem, you know, because how am I going to get in there?
I can't remember how I got in the first place.
I'm hinting.
Okay.
Right, clearly that doesn't work. Right, moving on. Thanks for your email, Richards. What else?
Has anyone had any TW Blue issues at all, or is that just Richard on his own?
Beg your pardon. No, I haven't actually, except for the fact he keeps asking me to pay for it.
Really?
Well, not pay for it, but you donate money. And I'm happy to donate, but here's the thing. Once you donate, and this will we'll find out who's donated or not, but if you donate, does it still keep asking you? Because how does it know you've donated?
Mine doesn't ask me. I don't know how it asks you in the first place.
But have you donated already?
No.
Right, well, I want your computer then. Send it now.
I've got an uncrushing, money-grabbing one version. Sorry.
No, it's not at all. I mean, I think these things are made by people who are doing it out of the love. And I think if we can chuck some money their way, and you can, if you can afford to do that, then that's great. We should do that. Because I do want to support TW Blue. I'm not encouraging anyone to do it, because it's up to you if you've got the money or you don't. But I think for those of us who do, we should. You know, because I think these kind of things come along, and who else is going to support that app? I think it's a great app, actually.
It's brilliant.
I mean, in some ways, it's probably a lot easier to navigate. I mean, I know it's not maybe as visually appealing for a lot of people, obviously, but it works great for us.
I haven't taken the dive yet on my PC and downloaded TW Blue.
Oh, come
I
on,
should,
Tim.
But I don't do a lot of Twitter on my computer. I mean, I do, but I don't. I do a lot of it on my phone. And actually, just recently on my phone, I've switched from the native Twitter app to Twitterific. I'd used it years ago and liked it, but there were certain things that I still felt more comfortable doing on the Twitter app, the native app. And I've gotten so frustrated lately with the, you know, is it a bug or is it a feature kind of thing with Twitter, that I said, you know what, that's it, I'm done. And I went and got Twitterific again, and I love it. And I actually went ahead and gave them the 99 cents a month, because they do such a fantastic job, similar to TW Blue, that I'm willing to give them, you know, a dollar a month, because I can do so much with it. It's so accessible. There's so many other things I can do, and it's not frustrating like the native app. So I might have to take the dive and finally install TW Blue. I'll get around to it one of these days.
Well worth it.
It's a good app. Right. Okay. Let's get into some other emails.
Carl has some lovely words for us. He says, "Good afternoon, team. I just wanted to send a short mail to congratulate all of you guys. To include Sean, as I know he often pops up on the show too. I have now been an avid listener for a while now, especially as my late stage RP has now taken any useful vision I had. Very tough times. The show has really helped me, and the chat and the banter is fantastic. I know some listeners have noted this to be bad, but I very much enjoy it, and it always makes me chuckle. You really feel that you all get on really well. Stephen's dry Scottish humour is so cool. The guys all compliment each other. Andy and, of course, Robin and Tim. You are all extremely knowledgeable and convey all reviews and all info in such a gentle and fun way. Without this delivery, much of the content would be a tad boring, dare I say. The email jingle has to stay. It is so cheesy. I love it. Great work, all of you. And R&IB, please keep the guys fully supported and let's have more of them. They remind me at times of my fond Top Gear memories with the original guys. They are fantastic. Where can I find more with them? Carl also asked for the link to the survey. That's how old this email is, unfortunately. P.S., Carl says, Stephen is so right with the Logitech MX Keys keyboard. It is a superb bit of kit. I love it. Double P.S., he said. Double P.S. Do any of the guys know of a dedicated double Bluetooth headset so I can allocate one ear to Jaws and the other to connect to a phone, etc. Ideally durable to work in a call centre or contact centre environment. That's from Carl.
Well, firstly, Carl, thank you for getting in touch. And you know what? Thank you for sending such a positive email, and I'm sure what is a very difficult time for you right now. You know, that this is so difficult when, you know, you hear of a friend is, you know, you're now a friend of the show, you're officially a friend of the show, you're part of the actually, do you know what, you're further than that, you're part of the family. This is what whenever Julie Rodaway, who is from Liverpool, gets in touch with the show, says, dear Tech Talk family. Well, you know what, Carl, you're part of that now. Whenever someone gets involved in the show and emails in and becomes part of it, it's really important, because someone else is sitting right now listening to this feeling the same way. Mm-hmm. And hasn't written an email yet or hasn't got in touch, and maybe by hearing us talk or nonsensical drivel as we do on a week, you know, maybe it just says to somebody, and this is what I hope it does, I hope it says to somebody, look, if you're losing your sight, it's not the end. All right, I'm not saying, and nobody would say, that technology is the answer to everything. It's not, but it does keep you connected. I mean, think about right now with this pandemic, you know, being able to connect with people. The amount of people who are saying, and it makes me laugh because I hear people say, you know, in the news at the beginning when the pandemic started, people say, wow, you know, you can use computers to communicate and we don't have to meet up. And it's like, yeah, we know all this because blind people got there first. You know, and the thing about blind people, I think, is we're always pioneers. We always push forward. We always want to try new things and find ways for things for us to make it work. So, you know, that's why this is so important that we do this. And Carol, I hope, you clearly do, but I hope you get as much of it as we do. And yes, we are all friends. That's the thing. I mean, this is just, I often say this is just a slice of an hour of our conversation a week.
Yeah.
It's just like the bit, you know, that you've managed to record and put on air. You know,
well, that
the
goes
bit
back
we can.
To those eight WhatsApp groups. Yeah, it's more of the same, guys.
Yeah. How often do we mention the running joke in our WhatsApp group of, well, that was an audio book of messages that I had to just get through, you know, because we are interacting with each other. We're talking. Mm. I mean, I've said this here. I've said this in other places, you know, recording these shows, doing my show, even though I took quite a bit of the pandemic off from my show, even still reading and preparing and, you know, answering emails and recording these shows and the previous show I was on, honestly, has helped my sanity because it's getting together with like-minded people that I'm friends with, that I get along with, and it helps me just get through everything that's been going on in 2020. You know, it's that silver lining to say, you know what? Yeah, everything kind of stinks, but boy, once or twice a week, I can get together with like-minded friends and talk assistive tech or just talk general tech. How good is that? You know, and then have our off-air conversations that...
which usually revolve around your president, who's, you know, thankfully, bye-bye.
Yeah.
But,
hooray!
You know...
Yeah.
And it's fitting that he mentioned Sean there with the RP, because, yes. I mean, of course, Sean is our poster guy for RP. And
he's on a poster?
How big is that poster?
Tiny.
It's just a picture of a shrub with a guy shoved underneath it.
Legs sticking out of it.
Yes, his leg sticking out from under a shrub. But no, Sean is still, you know, definitely part of our family, even though he's, you know, only on once in a blue moon. And he and I and you, Stephen, back in the day, I mean, yeah, I was welcomed into this family so openly, you know, the first 100 or whatever show run that I was on before coming back this time. And I was never that far away, even though it seemed like I was. So it is definitely a family.
So he ends the email by saying, well, obviously, Stephen, you're right about the MX Keys keyboard. He thinks it's great. Does anyone know about a dedicated double Bluetooth headset? Can you get one in one ear and one in the other?
Well, I'll be honest. This is something
else.
All right. Okay. I was going to say no, because I've been looking for one of these for long enough. So
I don't know what it's called. When I worked at the government, I had an option of two different headsets. One, of course, was wired, and I had one that came off my left ear, another wire coming off my right ear, one plugged into the back of the computer for me to hear Jaws, the other one plugged into my phone system so I could hear the callers coming through, you know, as they called in. They offered me a Bluetooth option. I don't remember, and I will look into this, see if I can get a hold of some people that I worked with at the government that are still there, and maybe they can tell me the name of it. But there was a Bluetooth option that would have done the same thing, but it was very dedicated, very specific, you know, to work with that phone system, and you know, the one ear would, of course, you know, work with your computer for Jaws. But they had told me that it wasn't the optimal option because it just didn't work very well. It would, you know, crash out a lot and not work. And so the wired version was a much better option. But I will look into that and see if I can get the name of that, if that would be helpful.
The one concern I have is that any unwired solution with JAWS or NVDA, if you've got a screen reader, is the lag, the latency. So, you know, maybe just have one earbud in on one side and have a standard Bluetooth headset for the phone on the other. I don't know, but for me, that would drive me nuts, even if there was a split-second delay on a screen reader.
If we're just looking at, I want to hear Jaws in one ear and every other bit of audio from my computer in the other ear, in the sound controls, there is volume control and balance for the synthesized voice for Jaws, separate from the rest of your PC. If you could just go in and do the balance of the Jaws sound output, put it maybe to the left, and then every other sound output, put it to the right or vice versa. And, you know, so if you're using a Bluetooth headset, that would be a way to do it. Pair one single Bluetooth headset and just put the balance to left or right, depending on where you want it to go.
I think the challenge here is that maybe there's a constraint on which headsets will work with his, you know, his phone telephony solution. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe there's a soft phone version. A lot of office-based, you know, telecom systems also have an app version that can run on a PC, kind of a soft phone version.
Well, that's what I used at the government, was a soft phone. I had a hard phone, but there was too many buttons that I couldn't use because there was an on-screen display on the hard phone, and the display, of course, wasn't accessible.
Useless,
So I had to use a soft phone version, which was great, and that was where I had to have the split audio, but... Yeah. Yeah, if it's in the PC, if it's actually within Windows that we're talking, not a separate hard phone or something, I would just think just move the balance, you know, left and right. That could work.
I mean, the other option is if you want something like that, then there is if it's a hard phone versus a PC, then you can actually buy a box from RNIB. Access to Work would supply this, I guess. The name of it escapes me at the moment, but I've got one. It's a splitter box, essentially, that you plug your computer into and your phone into, and you can have JAWS and your PC coming out at the same time, but split.
That's the answer.
Well, it is, but it's also not perfect because there are a few issues with it. One is that when you're on a call, for example, if you... and maybe I shouldn't say this, but I was on a call and I learned the hard way, shall we say, that the person on the other end could hear JAWS because I was on a call with someone, and the woman I was on a call to, someone emailed me and said, I hope that's not that horrible person on the line. And that's what went down the line to the person. Now, thankfully, it was going about 100 miles an hour. and she didn't pick up on it. Otherwise, I'd have had a lot of problems. But yeah, you just got to be careful with that. It doesn't. It does send the voice down. So it's actually quite annoying. You can't do your notes while you're on a call because
that's
they'll hear that too.
Then.
So it's a it's a bit of a non-starter. But it is an option. I have tried umpteen ways to make it work, but it just doesn't seem to be feasible. Anyway, look. I hope that helps, Carol. Thank you very much for emailing in. Welcome to the family.
Yeah.
Okay, time now to join the Technology for Life team, another part of the Tech Talk family here. And this week we hear from a member of the team telling us all about NaviLens.
Hi there, I'm Hannah from the Technology for Life team. And today I would like to talk a little bit about the app NaviLens. NaviLens is an app for Apple and Android that can aid in navigation and finding things in your environment. It uses codes, a bit like QR codes or barcodes, that can be attached to anything and information recorded onto them. It uses the camera on your smartphone, and when the code is in range, it will read out whatever information has been assigned to that code. Often with QR codes or barcode readers, you have to get the item within a section on your screen, within the app's view, in order for it to identify the code. These codes are a bit different and they can be picked up at a distance. This means that if you're in a room or a building that has these codes, you can scan your phone around the room and it will tell you if there are any codes in your area. If the app identifies more than one code in your area, it will list them in the app. The code that is the most central to your phone will appear at the top of the list. When you first download the app, it will ask you if it has permission to use your camera and also for you to accept the terms and conditions. Once you've done this, you're ready to go. I myself am using an iPhone with VoiceOver, and I've just done that, installed the app and agreed to all of the terms and conditions. And the page that I'm shown says,
point at a tag with the camera to read it.
At this point, the app is scanning the environment to see if it can pick up any tags. The other items that are on the screen are towards the bottom of the page, and there are four settings menus, if you like, in the bottom tab area on the phone. So I'm just going to flick on the screen to get to those.
Settings button.
Settings brings you up a menu where you can change things to do with the location information it provides you. So when you are scanning, it can give you information about where the tag is located around you. It can give you hints and tips through sounds, through beeps, and there's different tone beeps depending on whether the tag is to your left, to your right, or up or central. Or you can have this given to you in words. So instead of giving you a sound, it'll say left, right, up, or central. And similarly with haptic feedback, so the phone can vibrate to tell you. You can set it to whichever you prefer. You can also, in settings, set how much information the tag reads aloud when the app first detects it, whether you just want it to read a little bit or whether you want it to read a lot. Really, it's just personal preference, but that's what you can find out in settings. The second item that we have at the bottom is
display mode button.
In here, you can select which of the tags are displayed on the screen. So do you just want to see the ones that you've seen frequently or recently? Or do you want to show history? Do you want all the tags you've seen to be displayed? Again, it's just personal preference. And the third item that we have on the bottom is
Zoom disabled button.
When Zoom is enabled, it will increase the distance that the camera can identify a tag or code. At the moment, mine says disabled because I haven't got it selected. When Zoom is enabled, even though the distance has increased, the field of view for the camera has narrowed. The final item on the list is
download tags for personal use and the user guide button.
Yes, you heard correctly. In this option, as well as being able to see the user guide and how to use the app. You can also request your own tags for use however you want to use them. Once you go into this menu and select Request Tabs, you are redirected to the NaviLens website where you will enter your name and email address, and you will be emailed your own tags. These tags will come to you as attachments, and they are different sizes, so you can attach them to varying size objects around your home or just different locations in your environment. You can then print out the tags and cut them out. This was the most difficult part of the process for me, and luckily I got a friend to help me with this to get my codes cut into the right shape. I don't know about you, but for me, I am always losing my television remote control. I can never find it, and helpfully family members use the TV remote and put it back in all different sorts of places, so I'm always hunting around for it. It's going to be the first thing that I put a code on in my house. I have my tag here, and I'm now going to put a tag on it and show you the process. So I'm just going to get my tag.
1 foot away. Blank tag. Use the personal note option to complete it.
Okay, so NaviLens has seen the tag. It's telling me that it's blank and that I need to complete it.
1 foot away. Blank tag. Use the personal note option to complete it.
Okay, so I'm going to double tap on that tag.
Back. Button.
And then I'm going to flick.
Personal annotation. Button.
I am now going to double tap on personal annotation.
Back. Button.
And flick again.
Personal annotate. Delete. But. Okay. Button. Personal annotations to be added to the tag content. Personal annotation. Text field.
I'm going to double tap to edit.
Personal annotation. Text field. Is editing. Character mode. Insertion point at start.
And just for ease, I'm going to double tap with two fingers to dictate. Television remote control.
Inserted television remote control.
Okay, and I've already passed the OK button, so I'm going to flick to the left to go back to it.
Personal annotations, OK. Button.
And double tap.
Back. Button.
Now, hopefully, when the app sees my code, it'll tell me that I've got my remote control.
Restarting scan. Point at a tag with the camera to one foot away. Television remote control.
Excellent. Now I can attach that straight to my remote control and hopefully never lose it again. I hope you enjoy using this app. I'm certainly now going to spend a great couple of hours attaching codes all over my house to different things I'm always losing. If at any point you would like any more information or to get hold of the Technology for Life team, you can reach us on 03 03 123 9999 or email tfl@rnib.org.uk. Thank you.
And if you want more information from the Technology for Life team, then you can get in touch by emailing helpline@rnib.org.uk. Contact the team directly, tfl@rnib.org.uk, or call the helpline on 0303 123 9999. Lines are open 8 a.m. till 8 p.m. weekdays, Saturdays, 9 a.m. till 1 p.m. All right, let's get back to the emails here on Tech Talk this week. Andy's going through them with myself, Robin and Tim. What have we got now, Andy?
Barry has emailed in with the headline, Reading a Book in PDF Format with Jaws. Hi all, I'd like to ask if you have any suggestions for the difficulty that I'm having in reading the PDF version of Shelley Brisbane's book, iOS Access for All. I'm finding it I'm finding it very laborious and frustrating that I cannot scroll continuously or move about from chapter to chapter easily. I can only seem to go through it one page at a time by pressing Control Page down and then Control Home to get to the top of the next page, and seem to only be able to start from the beginning and work my way through to get to the place that I need. The PDF security seems so stringent that I cannot add place markers or do anything else that's going to make my life easier. I had the choice of downloading it in PDF, EPUB, or as a zip file, but I choose PDF as I don't usually have much difficulty in reading documents in PDF after clicking infer reading order from document or allow editing. I wonder if either of you lads are able to help. Which version might have been the best to download? And the big question, why? That's an email from Barry Hayward.
I don't know anything about this, Barry, so I'm going to leave it to Robin and Tim.
For what it's worth, I would always open a PDF in Microsoft Edge. Edge is my new fave browser. It does exactly the same as Google Chrome browser. It's got the same engine, so all the pages will read and behave exactly the same. But it's a lot lighter. It's more responsive. It's not a big battery hog like Chrome is, and it handles PDFs really, really well. So unlike Acrobat Reader, which, you know, it's got some brilliant accessibility work done to it, but it just takes forever to open up the pages. It has this massive processing dialogue box that comes up and it's very unresponsive. Don't use it. Use Edge, bring the PDF up. All of the pages will be there in one big long roll, as it were. One page is, one long document. And give it a go. Use Control F to, search for things. You can use your screen reader's bookmarking capability, if it's got one, to leave a bookmark in that page. Obviously, it'll only last for that session, but, the reading experience will be much, much better. Or VoiceStream Reader on iOS would be my go-to one for mobile.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, Robin, on using Edge. I mean, it's been my go-to browser now for quite a while on my PC and on my iPhone, as a matter of fact. And so, yeah, everything you said there is exactly right. And yeah, VoiceStream Reader on an iPhone is perfect, because it's going to have everything that you're looking for. The bookmarking that's going to last, to be able to jump to certain areas, chapters, things like that. So if you're looking for an off PC kind of way to read, then that would be the way to go. But no, I think that Edge is the right thing. Now, as far as the other versions, I don't know, it would have been in the zip file unless it was just one big text document. So that might be why it was in a zip file or multiple text documents. The EPUB format would be okay if you've got the proper reader for that, because it's going to be set up with the sections and the chapters and all of that. But depending on what you use, it may not be accessible. So the PDF might still be the best way to go there.
Okay, all right. Well, that sounds like a fantastic answer, and I'm behind you 100% on it. Moving on.
Well done, Stephen.
Hi, guys, starts Will. Love the show as always, but can we exchange Stephen for Tim?
Well,
we have now reached the stage of the emails where people have now emailing in because Tim's on the show.
Caught up. So
and the very first one is someone asking for me to take over. All right.
No, actually, we're so far behind on the emails. This is the first time Tim joined a show about four years ago. That's where we're up to.
Yeah,
that's
exactly
where we're at now. Okay, so I'm being swapped. Do I have to go live in America and he lives in Scotland? Is that how it works?
Oh,
Well, that's a little bit more agreeable than it would have been a couple of weeks ago, I'm sure.
You got that right.
Uh-huh. Yeah, someone else is doing that swap, aren't they? Anyway, Will continues, and feel free to waffle on as much as you please, although Robin should probably steal the klaxon from QI if Stephen goes on too long, or at least edit him out or something.
I can't relate to these sentiments at all, but anyway, carry on. You're going to get lots of fan mail, Stephen.
I think I'll get as much fan mail as I get WhatsApp invites to groups.
Oh, God. In relation, I'm going to drag this back to technology now. In relation to buying a laptop, my favourites have always been Dell and HP. One thing that really bugs me, though, I found this with the last few Hewlett-Packards that I've had, and as well as Dell, as they seem to be copying the Mac in terms of getting thinner. You used to be able to upgrade the memory and the hard drive by undoing screws on the bottom, whereas now the base doesn't seem to have any screws in it, and the only way to replace the hard drive or memory is taking the whole laptop apart, meaning that I have to take it in to upgrade the memory, as I suspect the hard drive on mine is dying. I personally found the Apple announcement quite disappointing. I don't know which Apple. This might be the first one, I think, a couple of months back. But I expect that Stephen bought everything and they announced and that he's remortgaging his house again. Yeah, that bit is true, isn't it, Stephen?
Yeah, well, I mean, I didn't know you could remortgage three times, but apparently you can.
Will finalises his email by saying, I did find myself downloading iOS 14, but there was nothing new there. The only thing I would love if Apple had put iOS 14 would be the ability to use the SAPI 5 compatible voices. Now, it's SAPI 5, isn't it? Microsoft API F5, such as the Neo Speech or Evona ones into VoiceOver. Regards, that is an email from Will.
Couldn't agree more with you, Will. Well, not on the getting rid of me part, but the...
I don't think he would get rid of you, just swap us, but
no. Yeah, but what would that achieve? Does that mean he wants you to host? He wants you to run the show.
He wants me to host and run the show and you just to chime in every so often as a contributor, I guess? I don't know.
Does that mean I do less? I like the sound of this.
Well, we have tried this before on another show that we've been on before in the past together, and there was once where I was hosting and you were just going to sit back and relax. And if memory serves, I believe someone just kind of took over. But we won't get into that.
Look, don't talk about Sean when he's not here.
Oh, poor Sean.
I think the only way we can easily swap you two is by just swapping your names. So maybe we should just, for the rest of the show... refer to you by
Stephen Schwartz and Tim Scott. There we go. That's that done.
No. Anyway,
there's your whole family history just been erased.
Yeah, everything's just gone. Yeah. But no, I appreciate that. Thank you. But no, it's Stephen's deal. I will sit in the big chair if he ever asks me to when he finally takes a break and takes a vacation. I've done it.
Do you know the thing I've is? I mean, even when I'm not well, I'm. This is the thing, though. I mean, even when you're not well, you're still at home, right? So It's like, well, what's the point in taking any time off? I'll just sit here and sneeze at you.
So I think I've hosted this show three or four times in the past. I think, but yeah, that was when you were going out and about and not being shut in during a pandemic. So, yeah. I'll probably never host this show again. But that's okay. I like the dynamic. I like the banter. We have fun. And yeah, thanks for that. As far as the laptop thing, the one thing I'll say quickly is I agree with those two options, Dell and HP. I would only add Asus to that. I've been a long time major fan of Asus products. I used to build computers and put Asus motherboards in, and I loved them. They were fantastic, and their laptops are really, really good. So that would be the only other thing I'd throw in there. But yeah, it does seem like everybody's trying to go thinner and more Mac-like, which isn't really surprising.
My first laptop was a Toshiba.
Oh, me too.
Back in the day, the Toshiba laptops were great. When I worked in a computer retail store through college, I recommended Toshibas quite often. Back in the late 90s, they were very, very good.
And my second laptop was a Sony Vaio.
I had one of those too.
I really knew how to back the winners, didn't I?
Yeah.
That's going back some years, isn't it?
And then my first computer, obviously, I mentioned earlier, was the Advent. So, you know, what does that tell you? Look, that's it. We're out of time, as always. But thank you again, guys. I really enjoyed doing this week. We're going to do more emails next week and focus in on them. Thanks to the TFL guys as well. Many thanks to Robin Christofferson from AbilityNet.
Thank you.
And, of course, Tim Schwartz from LifeAfterBlindness.com.
Thank you, Stephen.
And emails Andy. Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.